Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani, Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvisesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarni. We are hearing and continuing, this is our 20th session on the 7th chapter of the Adi Lila, Lord Chaitanya in 5 features. Those 5 features are Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, and Srivas Thakur. We are studying the section right now where Lord Chaitanya is instructing the Mayavadi sannyasis of Benares all about the true understanding of Vedanta, as opposed to the imagined explanation of Vedanta given by Shankaracharya. We left off on text number 115. If you are ready to proceed and we're on the same page, then let us proceed. All in favor say, Jai Radhe.
Jai Radhe.
All right, text number 115, chapter 7 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking. One who considers the transcendental body of Lord Vishnu to be made of material nature is the greatest offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. There is no greater blasphemy against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Batuk knows that we mentioned this twice yesterday, last night, at our program, because this is a big, big subject matter. Let's look at Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Okay. Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami explains that the variegated personal feature of the Absolute Truth is the Vishnu Tattva, and that the material energy which creates this cosmic manifestation is the energy of Lord Vishnu. The creative force is merely the energy of the Lord. But the foolish conclude that because the Lord has distributed himself in an impersonal form, he has no separate existence, because they're conceiving things materially. I take this paper and I tear it into 100 peaches, the original paper loses its identity. So they think that's what happened to God, that he expanded himself, therefore he lost his separate identity. That is a material understanding of God. The Ishopanishad points out 1 plus 1, 1 minus 1, 1 times 1, dear. So therefore, the mathematics in the spiritual world is very simple. One. The lessons of language is easy. Krishna. That's all you need to know. Let's continue. The impersonal Brahman, however, cannot possess energies, nor do the Vedic literature state that Maya, or the illusory energy, is covered by another Maya. There are hundreds and thousands of references, however, to Vishnu Maya, Parasya Shakti. That phrase is from the Upanishads, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate, or the energy of Lord Vishnu. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:14, what's the verse? Anybody know? 7:14. I've quoted it 100 times. Daiviyesha Gunamayi Mamaya Duratyaya Mam Eviye Prapajante Mayam Etam Tarantite. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna refers to Mamamaya, my energy. Maya is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that he is covered by Maya. Make sense? I was giving, yes?
Say that he's covered by Maya, that he's part of material nature,
Well, they don't. And their whole conception of God is material. Yes. And therefore, if you say that he is covered by Maya, then that immediately makes you an atheist. Immediately. That's the right there. Maya is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that he is covered by Maya. Therefore, Lord Vishnu cannot be a product of the material energy. Now, the same concept is there in Gita in chapter 9, verse 10. Maya Yakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharataram Hetunanena Kaunteya Jagad Vipari Vartate. That verse also says the material energy is moving under his direction. I gave the example last night. Can you have light and darkness at the same time? No. You either have light or you have darkness. The material energy, according to the Vedas, is always compared to darkness. Always. It's the spiritual energy that's compared to light. Otherwise, this phrase, tamasi ma jyotir gama, makes no sense. This is a Vedic phrase. Come out of the darkness. What does it mean, come out of the dark? It means come out of the influence of the material energy. That's what it means. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. What is the light? The light means the spiritual world. Or you could say the shastras, because that's where you begin. So by definition, in the Vedas, the material world is darkness. And even the material world, you read the description, is like a coconut. Is there any light inside of a coconut? No. So the universe, like a coconut, has seven layers. Each layer 10 times thicker than the previous. Okay? So, by nature, the material energy is dark. What does Krishna do? He has a light bulb called the... What's Krishna's light bulb? The sun. Only one sun in the universe. Forget what the stupid scientists say. Krishna says there's one sun for every universe. Okay? That one sun is powerful enough to light up the whole universe. There is a place in the material universe where there's no sunshine. It's called Loka Loka. You'll find a description of that in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's one place in the universe, no sunshine. Other than that, the 1st and 13th chapter, you'll come to the end where Krishna says, just as one sun lights up the universe, one soul gives animation to this body, and that's the jiva soul. The jiva soul is the one that's animating this body. All right, let's continue. Maya is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not that he is covered by Maya. Therefore, Lord Vishnu, yeah, and that's one of the Mayavad phrases. One of the Mayavad slogans is, you're God. Right now, you're in Maya. You follow Shankaracharya's process, you'll remember that you're God. So Prabhupada's response is, if I'm God, how come I fell under illusion? Krishna must be a different kind of God, because he never fell into illusion. You follow this logic? The Mayavad philosophy teaches, this is how they hook you. You're God. You just forgot. That's all. Now you do meditation, you study Vedanta Sutra, you'll again remember that you're God. Very attractive philosophy. But it's bogus. Because by definition, what we're studying right now, God cannot fall into illusion. If your God falls into illusion, he's not God. Follow? Okay, let's continue. What?
You said that in the universe there is
Yes. Well, I don't know the description. You got to go to fifth canto. Huh? I don't know about black hole. I know Bhagavatam. You send me an email. I'll show you the reference. Okay? It's in the fifth. Fair enough? Okay, it's not something that I spend a whole lot of time on. I know enough. Now, you want detail? Send me an email. I'll send you the reference. You look in Bhagavatam. You have Prabhupada's Bhagavatam? The tapes? That's not good. You got to get the book. Get the book. Books are the basis. All right. Let's continue. Therefore, Lord Vishnu cannot be a product of the material energy. In the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, it is said, Janmadyasa yataha, indicating that the material energy is also an emanation of the Supreme Brahman. Are we Brahman? We're Brahman. Are we Supreme Brahman? No. Supreme Brahman is who? Krishna. All right. Even these simple arguments, however, cannot be understood by the Mayavadi philosophers, and therefore the term Maya Aparita Jnana, which you were speaking on today in your class, the four kinds of persons who do not surrender to Krishna, one of them is Maya Aparita Jnana. Their knowledge, they have knowledge, but it's stolen by Maya. All right? For instance, Ravana was very intelligent. Kamsa was very intelligent. Hiranyakashipu, very intelligent. If they were to exist right now, the whole world would worship their lotus feet. I don't know if you call it lotus. Right? If Ravana came on the scene right now, everybody in America, yes, please fix our economy. We want Lanka. We want a country of gold. But because Ravana was against Ram, Maya Parita Jnana. Because Hiranyakashipu tried to kill his devotee son, Maya Parita Jnana. Kamsa, because he tried to kill the eighth son of Devaki, Maya Parita Jnana. They couldn't be these big, big, big demons unless they were very intelligent. So, yes, they had Gyan, but that Gyan, stolen by Maya, which is applied to them in the Bhagavad Gita, is extremely appropriate. Anyone who thinks that Lord Vishnu is a product of the material energy, as explained by Sadananda Yogindra, so that, if you remember, he was Shankaracharya's number one disciple. This Sadananda Yogindra was preaching that don't follow anything except Shankaracharya's explanation of Vedanta Sutra. That was his preaching. We read about this earlier in this chapter. Sadananda Yogindra said, the only Vedic authority is Shankaracharya's Bhashya on the Vedanta Sutra. All right? Should immediately be understood to be insane. For his knowledge has been stolen by the illusory energy. Lord Vishnu cannot be placed within the category of the demigods. That's the second offense against chanting the holy name. To think that the names of the demigods, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. Right? And there's that famous quote. Right? Lord Shambhu is speaking to Parvati that I chant this name Ram, which is equal to 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu. So now you know why Lord Shiva is chanting Lord Ram's name. He's very important. He's very smart. He is not Maya Parita Jnana. Lord Shiva is Param Jnana, most intelligent. All right, let's continue. Lord Vishnu cannot be placed within the category of the demigods. Those who are actually bewildered by the Mayavad philosophy and are still in the darkness of ignorance consider Lord Vishnu to be a demigod. In defiance of the Rig Vedic mantra, Om Tad Vishnu Paramang Padam, Vishnu is always in a superior position. This mantra is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Matak Paratarang Nanyat. There is no truth superior to Lord Krishna or Vishnu. Thus, only those whose knowledge has been bewildered consider Lord Vishnu to be a demigod and therefore suggest that one may worship either Lord Vishnu, the goddess Kali Durga, or whomever one likes and achieve the same result. That's classic Mayavad philosophy. Doesn't matter. Worship anyone. You'll get the same result. That's called Yatamat Tatapat. It's wrong. You know that as well as me. If you go on the 57, one way, you wind up in Anaheim. You go on the 57, the other way, where do you wind up? Diamond Bar. Different place. Now, you may think, oh, Diamond Bar, Anaheim is the same. Not if it's your house. No. Different result. So it's not. And that's what these Mayavad people teach. It's okay. Worship this, that, and the other thing. We're all going to get the same result. No, you're not. And that's in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says you worship the demigods. That's where you're going. You worship ghosts and spirits. That's where you're going. You worship me. Then you come to me. Let's go. This is an ignorant conclusion that is not accepted in the Bhagavad Gita, which distinctly says, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Yanti Madhyajino Piman. The worshippers of the demigods will be promoted to the respective planets of the demigods. But devotees of the Supreme Lord will go back home, back to Godhead. Lord Krishna explains very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita, again, 7:14, that his material energy is very difficult to overcome. Daivi hi esha gunamayi momamaya duratyaya. That's the word. Duratyaya. Very difficult. Maya's influence is so strong that even learned scholars and spiritualists are also covered by Maya and think themselves to be as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, however, to free oneself from the influence of Maya, one must surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. And I've said hundreds of times, the same thing the song Govinda Das in Bhajahure Mana says. Taraha e bhava sindure. Same meaning. It is to be concluded, therefore, that Lord Vishnu does not belong to this material creation, but to the spiritual world. To misconceive Lord Vishnu to have a material body or to equate him with the demigods is the most offensive blasphemy against Lord Vishnu. And offenders against the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu cannot advance in spiritual knowledge. They are called Maya Aparita Jnana, or those whose knowledge has been stolen by the influence of illusion. One who thinks that there is a difference between Lord Vishnu's body and his soul dwells in the darkest region of ignorance. In other words, if we say, I am my body, that's ignorance. Because that's the first lesson of Bhagavad Gita. But Krishna, if he says, I am my body, that is absolutely true. What's correct for God is not correct for me. Because Krishna does not have a material body. He is his spiritual body. So far, so good? Yes, the distinction between God and us. Okay, continuing. There is no difference between Lord Vishnu's body and Lord Vishnu's soul, for they are advaigyan, one knowledge. In this world, there is a difference between the material body and the spiritual soul, but in the spiritual world, everything is spiritual and there are no differences. The greatest offense of the Mayavadi philosophers is to consider Lord Vishnu and the living entities to be one and the same. In this connection, the Padma Purana states, Archye Vishnau Shiladhir Gurushu Naramati Vaishnabe Jati Buddhi Yasya Va Narakisa. One who considers the Archamurti, the worshipful deity of Lord Vishnu, to be stone. So, if this deity is stone, then we are idol worshippers. But we're not idol worshippers because we're not worshipping stone. We're worshipping God. Unless you have transcendental vision, you cannot accept this point. That's why, apart from knowledgeable persons, they come to this temple, they think, oh, they're worshiping statues. Because they don't understand this point. This point is only understood when you hear from a self-realized soul quoting the scriptures. Because to your eyes, it looks like stone, doesn't it? Right? To your naked eye, it does look like stone. But the spiritual master and the shastras are saying, don't think like that. It looks like stone. It's not stone. It's God. To come to that understanding is a gift. Don't think it's so easy. Because there are millions of people who don't got it. They don't got it. If you understand that this supposed stone statue is God, that's a gift which you have gotten, right, after millions of lifetimes. Bahunam janmanam ante. Don't take it cheaply. It's a gift that you have earned. So you treasure that understanding. That's very vital. Very, very vital understanding. Just see how fortunate you are. You can pat yourself on the back. Because it didn't come overnight. It's a gift. It's a gift which you have earned by the mercy of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Okay? Let us continue. One who considers the Archamurti, the worshipful deity of Lord Vishnu, to be stone, the spiritual master to be an ordinary human being, and a Vaishnava to belong to a particular caste or creed, is possessed of hellish intelligence. One who follows such conclusions is doomed. Doomed in the sense you're never going to proceed in spiritual knowledge. Let's chant before we go to the next verse. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, everybody. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Everyone. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. Shri Radhashtami Ki. All right, so let's continue. We're in Adi Lila, chapter 7, text number 116. Lord Chaitanya is speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi sannyasis who are assembled at the house of a Maharashtrian Brahmin because he has invited them, and Lord Chaitanya was also invited. Lord Chaitanya is saying, the Lord is like a great blazing fire, and the living entities are like small sparks of that fire. Now, this example Lord Chaitanya has given is directly taken from the Puranas. The verse will come afterwards. His method of preaching is statement, then reference. That's how. And also his disciples, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, also did like that. Statement, then support. So, is the spark equal to the fire? Yes and no. Qualitative, it's fire, but the quantity is different. That's all. So, he says here, the Lord is a great blazing fire, and we are little sparks. Purport. Although sparks and a big fire are both fire, and both have the power to burn, because you've noticed you're at a yajna, right? And all of a sudden, you see a little hole in your kurta, right? Especially if you're close to the yajna pit. You notice, like I've done yajnas, and I see, oh my God, my whole kurta I got to throw out. It's got like 100 little holes in it. So that little spark can do damage, but not the same as the blazing fire. The burning power of the fire and that of the spark are not the same. Why should one artificially try to become like a big fire, although by constitution he is like a small spark? It is due to ignorance. One should therefore understand that neither the Supreme Personality of Godhead nor the small spark-like living entities have anything to do with matter. But when the spiritual spark comes in contact with the material world, his fiery quality is extinguished. That is the position of the conditioned souls. Because they are in touch with the material world, their spiritual quality is almost dead. But because these spiritual sparks are all Krishna's parts and parcels, as the Lord states in Bhagavad Gita, and the reference is chapter 15, verse 7, Mamai Bangsha. Yeah, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. They can revive their original position by getting free from material contact. So, let's see who has learned something from my class. What is the way the living entity gets free from material contact? What is the process? In general, it's called devotional service, bhakti yoga. That's the process. Okay, yes, your other answers were correct. But the general process, which includes all your answers, is devotional service, bhakti yoga. Good. All right, see. That is the position of the conditioned souls. I already read that. Okay. This is philosophical understanding. In the Bhagavad Gita, the spiritual sparks are declared to be sanatan, eternal. Right? Because that's in the same verse. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta means you never were born. You never will die. You ever exist. That's the meaning of sanatan. You always existed. Nice, huh? Yes. In the Catholic religion, they believe in the eternality of the soul, but their understanding is the soul has a beginning date of when he's generated from God. And then from that point, he's eternal. So the Catholic understanding is not as the same as we. Because we say, we always. The Catholics say, no, there was a time when you didn't exist. God created you, now you're eternal. That's okay. It's half right. Well, that's their philosophy. All right. Therefore, the material energy, Maya, cannot affect their constitutional position. And that clears up all the other things that you read in the Vedas, that the soul is never contaminated. So, to adjust it, yes, you're never contaminated, but for now, being under illusion, you think, but really you're not. So some people would say, oh, I just got to stop thinking like that. Yes. And again, what is the process by which you stop thinking like that? Devotional service. There is no other option. There is no other way. All right, let's continue. Someone may argue, why is there a need to create the spiritual sparks? The answer can be given in this way. Since the absolute personality of Godhead is omnipotent, he has both unlimited and limited potencies. This is the meaning of omnipotent. To be omnipotent, he must have not only unlimited potencies, but limited potencies also. Thus, to exhibit his omnipotency, he displays both. The living entities are endowed with limited potency, although they are part of the Lord. The Lord displays the spiritual world by his unlimited potencies, whereas by his limited potencies, the material world is displayed. So, the unlimited potencies, that's all the Vishnu Narayan expansions of Krishna, which are unlimited, right? And the term used in the Vedas, Svangsha, his personal expansions. So Krishna's own personal expansions, which have the same unlimited potency, they are called Narayan Vishnu. Whereas the limited potencies is us, Jiva. So this, and we are called Vibhina Angsha. You'll find this in the prayers to the personified Vedas. Swangsha, Vibhinangsha. All right. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharyate jagat. Besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjuna. So what were those inferior energies in the previous verse of Bhagavad Gita? How many? Who knows Bhagavad Gita? How many inferior energies? Yeah, how many? Eight. Bhumirapanalovayu kangmanobuddhir evaja ahankara itiyangmi bhaktiting. Gotta know your Bhagavad Gita. If you want to attend this class, you had better study your Bhagavad Gita, boys and girls. Gotta know your Bhagavad Gita. Your homework is to study Bhagavad Gita every day. 7-4, because this is 7-5. So the previous verse, because look, he says, besides these inferior energies. In other words, he's picking up from the previous verse. So in the previous verse, he says, right? Bhumir apanalo vayu kang mano bidir evaja ahankara iti name bina prakriti ashta. Eight material energies. Got it? All right. Besides these inferior energies, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is another superior energy of mine which comprises all living entities. Okay? Exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. So, we were mentioning this last night. So here he's calling the material energy inferior. Yes? You just read that. And in chapter 8, he describes this inferior energy by two adjectives. Does anybody know the two adjectives that Krishna himself uses to describe this inferior material nature? Temporary? Dukalaya. It's temporary and it's full of suffering. That's what the manufacturer says. Right? Like, you know, because those commercials, you should know this, for the new drugs, and then at the end of the commercial it says, may cause this, and they say it real fast. And sometimes they say, and may cause death. You know the new drugs that they come out with, right? Oh, this will cure this, and then may cause death. And me and my wife go, are you kidding me? What do you think, we're stupid? Who's going to take a medicine that may cause death? Right? So the manufacturer has to disclose that, right? He has to disclose that. Or sometimes you've had it with your cars, like with my car. They'll come back with a notice. Oh, we got to do a recall because the brakes are defective, this and that. If the manufacturer is telling you there's a recall, hello? Yeah, so the manufacturer, Krishna, is telling you, hello, this material energy of mine is inferior, number one. It's temporary, number two. And guess what? Dukkha, suffering. Okay. The Jiva Bhuta, the living entities, control this material world with their limited potencies. Generally, people are bewildered by the activities of scientists and technologists. Due to Maya, they think there is no need of God, and they can do everything and anything. But actually, they cannot. Since this cosmic manifestation is limited, their existence is also limited. Everything in this material world is limited, And for this reason, there is the creation, sustenance, and dissolution. However, in the world of unlimited energy, the spiritual world, there is neither creation nor destruction. By the way, okay, let's go back here. I was going to make a point. Anyway, I forgot. Everything in this material world is limited. All right, it'll come back later. Let's continue. If the personality of Godhead did not possess both limited and unlimited energies, he could not be called omnipotent. Anor iniyang mahato mahiyan. That's from the Upanishads. The Lord is smaller than the smallest and greater than the greatest. He is smaller than the smallest in the form of the living entities, and he is greater than the greatest in his form of Krishna. If there were no one to control, there would be no meaning to the conception of the supreme controller, Ishwara. Just as there is no meaning to a king without his subjects. Can you imagine? Yes, I am the king of such and such, but there's no queen, there's no subjects, I'm the king in my own little world. Yeah, it's like, so who cares? You're the king of nothing. All right. If all the subjects became king, there would be no distinction between the king and an ordinary citizen. Thus, for the Lord to be the supreme controller, there must be a creation to control. The basic principle for the existence of the living entities is called Chid Vilasa, or spiritual pleasure. This is important. I'm going to repeat it for the sake of Batuk. The basic, because this was the original question that started this purport. The basic principle for the existence of the living entities is called Chid Vilas, or spiritual pleasure. He goes on. The omnipotent Lord displays his pleasure potency as the living entities. The Lord is described in the Vedanta Sutra, Ananda Mayo Vyasat. He is by nature the reservoir of all pleasures. And because he wants to enjoy pleasure, there must be energies to give him pleasure or supply him the impetus for pleasure. This is the perfect philosophical understanding of the absolute truth. When Prabhupada was once asked this question in a Sunday feast lecture, the way Prabhupada explained it was that the reason we exist is as to increase Krishna's pleasure. Krishna, how does Krishna enjoy? Krishna enjoys when souls interact with him through service. What is the definition of the soul? Jivera Swarupahai Krishnera Nityadas. By definition, the soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. But unlike materialism, nobody likes the word servant, right? But in the spiritual world, servant is a glorious position because that is how you will exchange pleasure with the Lord. Since today is Radhashtami, we've been hearing last night and previous weekend, who is Krishna's greatest servant? Srimati Radharani. But one of the reasons why Krishna came down as Lord Chaitanya is because even though Radharani is Krishna's servant, she enjoys more than him. And he doesn't understand that. And it's impossible for him to understand that unless he takes the position of Radharani and becomes his own servant. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, trying to understand himself by becoming Radharani in the sense of the greatest devotee. So therefore, and this answers another question. You know how sometimes people get upset when we say, Lord Shiva is not God. He is servant of God. And some people get very angry, not knowing that if you address Lord Shiva as God and not servant of God, you're denying him his ecstasy. Because he derives much more pleasure not as being Shambhu, but being Dasa of Ram. Because whose name does he chant? Ram. You understand? Some people get upset. Oh, you are blaspheming the demigods. No, I'm not. God is God, and servant of God is servant of God, and it's much more glorious to treat people in their true perspective. Just like another way. If, let's say, somebody comes to me, tries to flatter me, and says, Prabhu, you're this. But if I actually don't have the qualifications, it's actually an insult. Correct? It's actually an insult. So, I know. What? No, that, I can't help that. Yes. That's right. Right. Yes, yes. Yes. But their points are true. Because some people, they like that. They don't mind cheating. For instance, there's a classic story. The guy who discovered Hawaii, I think his name was Cook. Because he was white, when he landed on Hawaii, all the aborigines thought he was God. And they worshipped him like God. So he was thinking, hey, this is a great gig. This is great. So all the people, the aborigines in Hawaii, were worshipping him like God. Hey, he was getting great perks. Until the day he stubbed his toe and started to bleed. And they said, oh, you're not God, then they killed him. So you better be careful. If you're going to play the role of God, be careful. This is a true story. Okay? Yeah, you can find places, right? And present yourself, right? You may have some mystic power or some talent. And foolish people might call you God. And hey, that's good, right? I get all these perks. Make sure you can deliver. All right, let's do another quick bhajan. All right, before we go to text number 117. All right, if Batukji would please read, play mridanga for me. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Jaya Radhe Jaya Krishna Jaya Vrindavan Shri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Shri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Hari Bol. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinatha Madana Mohan. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. All right, let's do one more verse and call it a day. Lord Chaitanya now says, hold on, 1 second, please. Okay. The living entities are energies, not the energetic. The energetic is Krishna. This is very vividly described in the Bhagavad Gita, the Vishnu Purana, and other Vedic literatures. So as you can see, Lord Chaitanya knows all these Vedic literatures. After all, it was him who ultimately created it, so if he should know. So this is the point. Living entities are energies. The proof of that, Bhagavad Gita 7.5, which we just studied in the previous purport. Besides this inferior energy is another superior energy of mind known as the living entity. Purport. As already explained, there are three prasthans on the path of advancement in spiritual knowledge, namely Nyaya prasthan or Vedanta philosophy, that's also known as logic, Shruti prasthan, the Upanishads and Vedic mantras, and Smriti prasthan, the Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata, and Puranas. So Smriti is derived from Shruti. That's how it works. Smriti is derived. Unfortunately, Mayavadi philosophers do not accept the Smriti prasthan. Here it is. Smriti refers to conclusions drawn from the Vedic evidence. Sometimes Mayavadi philosophers do not accept the authority of the Bhagavad Gita and the Puranas, and this is called Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, the logic of half a hen. They may have so many reasons. The logic of half a hen is like this. The farmer likes the eggs, but doesn't like the cost of feeding the hen. So the farmer thinks, cut off the head of the hen, now pure profit, not knowing that without the head, you don't get the egg. That's the logic of Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. It's a Bengali term. All right. If one believes in the Vedic literatures, one must accept all the Vedic literatures recognized by the great acharyas. But the Mayavadi philosophers accept only the Nyaya prasthan and Shruti prasthan, rejecting the Smriti prasthan. Here, however, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cites evidence from the Gita, Vishnu Puran, etc., which are Smriti Prasthan. No one can avoid the personality of Godhead in the statements of the Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures, such as the Mahabharata and the Puranas. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya quotes a passage from Bhagavad Gita 7.5, and that's where we're going to pick up next week. Let's see. Right. They don't. Right? All right. So I think next week I'm going to San Diego, but I think we will still have our class tomorrow, next Sunday in the morning. I'm pretty sure we'll do it next Sunday. You do want class next Sunday, right? You're enjoying? You're enjoying? All right, let's do one last little kirtan. Radhe jaya jaya madhava daite. Radhe jaya jaya madhava daite. Gokula taruni mandala mahite. Gokula taruni mandala mahite. Radhe jaya jaya madhava daite. Radhe bolo. Radhe. Radhe. Radhe jaya jaya Radhava jaite. Gokula tarani mandala mahite. Gokula tarani mandala mahite. Radhe jaya jaya madhava jaite. Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radhe. 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Shri Radhastami ki, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki, Shri Shri Radha Raman Bhagavan ki. All right, so we'll. So when are you leaving?
Maybe end of September or maybe.
All right, so you're still with us for the very good. So we will resume this class next Sunday. Thank you very much. All glories to Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki Haribo. May Krishna bless you and empower you to preach.